Hello, and welcome to the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast Series. I'm Pam Brewer, Coordinator of Healthcare Information Systems for HIMSS. Today, our guest is Dr. Lewis H. Diamond, Vice President and Medical Director at Thomson Reuters Healthcare and President, Performance Excellence Associates. Our topic today is Quality 101. Dr. Diamond is an expert in the use of methodologies for measuring and improving quality, and is also involved in the development of public policy through projects focused on patient safety, health system financing, physician payment reform, and quality measurement and reporting. He currently serves as co-chair, Strategic Direction Subcommittee, Physician Consortium for Performance Improvement, chair, Quality Measurement Research and Improvement Council, National Quality Forum, and chair of the Patient Safety and Quality Outcomes Steering Committee at HIMSS. Dr. Diamond is a graduate of the Medical School of the University of Cape Town, South Africa. Welcome, Dr. Diamond, and thank you for taking time to join us today.
Thank you, Pam. I look forward to our discussion today.
So do I. Dr. Diamond, would you share with us the basic framework and building blocks that support quality measurement?
Yes, that's a very important question, Pamela. It seems to me the starting point is the recognition that quality can be measured, and secondly and importantly, that there is a relationship between quality and the cost of care, and it's a direct relationship. As quality increases, so the cost of care can sometimes be reduced. But to your question specifically, I think the fundamental building block of quality measure is the evidence basis for the quality measure. And when we think about evidence, we need to take into account that evidence in and of itself is not precise, changes over time. But more importantly, as we use evidence to develop decision-making support systems at the point of care and for quality measurement systems, we need to take into account patient preference and the clinical expertise and judgment of the physician and other healthcare professionals. It seems to me that the second building block, the way I think about it, is the translation of evidence into clinical practice guidelines through a systematic process of decision-making by a multidisciplinary group. And then secondly, the translation of clinical practice guidelines into clinical decision support at the point of care related to the clinical performance measures that are used for public reporting, internal quality improvement initiatives, as well as pay-for-reporting and pay-for-performance and value-based purchasing requirements. So those are the fundamental building blocks. And I would just add one other, and that is we obviously need a health information infrastructure that supports the data collection and the data transmission and aggregation and reporting of quality measures, so that they can be used for all the purposes that I mentioned previously. Thank you for that question.
These are certainly top-of-mind issues for all physicians, I'm sure. Can you describe for us the National Quality Measurement Enterprise and share with us where measures are being developed and adopted for public reporting?
Yes, Pamela. The enterprise at a national level is evolving and is maturing. And I think the way to think about it is initially in three levels. You have a whole series of measure developers who actually develop the measures through a systematic process, as I've already indicated, derived from evidence and from clinical practice guidelines. Such organizations as the Physician Consortium for Performance Improvement, the Joint Commission, NCQA, CMS, and any number of other organizations are developing measures. And that's the first step in the process that is now evolving at a national level. The second step in the process is a review of those measures at the National Quality Forum through a very complicated and time-consuming process of consensus building. The National Quality Forum is now at the center of that second step, where measures are then reviewed and adopted for the purposes of public reporting. And the third step in the process, I think, is implementation. And we have evolving now a whole series of alliances, the Hospital Alliance, the AQA, which is essentially the Physician Measurement Alliance. What they are doing as of now are looking at these measures that are adopted by NQF and then deciding which can be implemented for the purposes of public reporting, pay for performance, and other initiatives. In the recently passed Accountability Act, a new organization is being established under the umbrella of NQF, which will essentially subsume those initiatives and activities that are currently being undertaken by the Quality Alliances. That's one way of describing this national initiative. I think there's a parallel now integrated enterprise that has sprung up, which is essentially the health information infrastructure enterprise. And again, there are about three or four steps there. It probably starts with the Office of the National Coordinator. Reporting into it is a policy committee. And then a number of other activities are occurring, such as establishing standards and certifying health information technology, electronic health records. And that set of activities is now occurring in an increasingly integrated manner with the previous enterprise that I spoke about. So again, Pamela, thank you for that question.
Thank you. Could you give us an overview of how meaningful use requirements under ARA intersect with quality measurement and improvement?
A very important question, Pamela. Thank you. So the meaningful use requirements under ARA have established some important goals, and it's important that these goals be recognized as a game changer. We are no longer going to be required and being committed to kind of implementing health information technology de novo. The goals under meaningful use, which are the requirements for CMS-directed incentive payments, are all directed at improving quality, measuring quality and improving quality. The five goals, as stated, are to improve quality, safety, efficiency, and reduce the disparities. Secondly, to engage patients in their care. Thirdly, to improve coordination of care. Fourthly, to ensure privacy and security of personal health information. And finally, to improve population health and interact with public health programs. As you can see from those five goals, this is a fundamental shift in the way we think about technology. And we now are going to be using health information technology explicitly to improve patient care and population health more broadly. So again, thank you for that question.
Dr. Diamond, do you have any final thoughts on quality?
Well, the only thought I have is that clearly the quality gap, as described by the IOM report of some 10 years ago, describing the gap as a chasm, is a big challenge for us, as are the two other challenges, namely reducing the cost of care and bending the cost curve, as well as covering the uninsured. We have a national enterprise that is evolving and maturing, as I've indicated, but we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us. Over the last decade, we have spent an incredible amount of time and effort and resources at measuring and improving quality. And although we've demonstrated some incremental changes, we really need to escalate that effort so we can bridge that gap going forward. So the challenge is before us, and I look forward to working with our colleagues to face that challenge.
Thank you, Dr. Diamond. I agree. I want to thank Dr. Lewis Diamond of Thomson Reuters Healthcare for being with us today. To our audience, thank you for joining us for the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast Series. This is Pam Brewer reporting.